Welcome into the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, and today, talking about Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. More than 76,000 Coloradans are among the 6.2 million people nationwide and over 50 million worldwide living with the only major disease without prevention or cure. What many people don't realize is that there are many programs and services available at no charge that can help families affected by Alzheimer's cope with the disease and help their loved ones get a better life. Joining me this morning on The Extra with information on Alzheimer's disease, along with the programs and services offered through the Alzheimer's Association of Colorado, is Jim Herlihy with the Alzheimer's Association, along with Rosemary Jaramillo and Charlotte Long. And thank you all for joining me here on The Extra. And let's start off with Rosemary. First off, can you explain to our listeners exactly what Alzheimer's is? Because it seems like there's a lot of common misconceptions when it comes to this tragic disease.
Absolutely. Good morning, and thank you for having us on today. So, Alzheimer's disease is actually a degenerative brain disease that is caused by a complex brain change, really following cell damage. It leads to dementia symptoms that gradually worsen over time. The most common early symptom of Alzheimer's is trouble with remembering new information, because the disease typically impacts the part of the brain associated with learning first. As an Alzheimer's, as it advances, symptoms do get more severe, including disorientation, confusion, and behavior changes. Eventually, it will affect speaking, swallowing, walking, and just becomes more difficult. So dementia, so people actually always kind of cross those. And dementia describes a group of symptoms associated with a decline in memory, reasoning, or thinking skills. Dementia is kind of an umbrella term used to describe a range of progressive neurological disorders that is conditions that affect the brain. There are about 200 subtypes of dementia, but the five most common are Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, dementia with Lewy bodies, frontotemporal dementia, and mixed dementia.
Okay, and I understand there are more than 76,000 Coloradans and over 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's, but that's far less than COVID, for example. And why is Alzheimer's then so serious compared to some of these other diseases?
So because it is the only disease that there is no cure for, the amount of people with this disease drastically is increasing on a yearly basis. It is a long, difficult journey for the person with the disease and for their family and caregivers. And caregiving for an Alzheimer's patient costs our country billions of dollars annually. Our caregivers provide billions of hours of care annually. And really, it's a very, very hard, difficult journey.
And, you know, and I've heard, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, but only about half of the people who have Alzheimer's are diagnosed with this disease. First off, is that true, and why is that?
Well, some people hide their symptoms, or their family members cover them. My aunt, we lost her from Alzheimer's last year, and when my uncle passed, that's when everybody realized that that she had Alzheimer's, because he was covering for her and they covered for each other very well. And it's easy to understand the stigma that's associated with it. And then there's loss. With this diagnosis comes such a great loss of a lot: independence, loss of driving privilege, and really loss of self. And so, many people wonder, is there any point in diagnosis if there's no cure for the disease? And some people just contribute it to normal aging. If a person has another treatable condition that's causing the cognitive impairment or somehow complicating the impairment, then doctors need to start treatment. And so that's just very, very important.
Absolutely. And of course, with this being no cure, disease without a cure, that just really goes to the importance of getting that diagnosis, correct?
An early diagnosis is so very important. It helps the person with the disease, the family and caregiver plan for the future. You also have a chance to make informed decisions on the number of issues such as appropriate community services and resources, options for residential or at-home care, plans for financial issues, and expectations for the future. And really, it's just so important to get that proper diagnosis.
And of course, if anyone has concerns about their cognitive health, where could they go or get more information about this tragic disease?
Well, they absolutely should start with their primary care physician. Really, that's their team. They're starting to build their team. And work with the care plan. And so reach out to the Alzheimer's Association helpline. We have education classes, support groups, and then making sure that everyone on Medicare is taking advantage of their wellness visit. And so this is once every 12 months. It develops and updates and personalizes prevention plans to help prevent disease and disability based on the current health and risk factors. So providers may also perform a cognitive impairment test at this time. And so really working with that primary care physician. We are also here at ALZ.org or our 24/7 helpline at 800-272-3900. And this is important to have that information because we can kind of guide you to resources. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's an important number to remember, 24/7. And they speak over 200 different languages.
You know, it is so great. Again, all that information, a great starting point is at alz.org/Colorado. We have much more on the importance of that early diagnosis and all things Alzheimer's on The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, and we're talking about Alzheimer's today here on The Extra. We've got Jim Herlihy with the Alzheimer's Association of Colorado joining me on the line. And Jim, thank you so much for joining us during that first segment. You know, really shocking to hear that this is one of the only major diseases without a cure so long. And let's just get into it. Why is it taking researchers so long to find a cure for Alzheimer's?
Well, Andrew, that's the key question here. Alzheimer's was first diagnosed 115 years ago by Dr. Alois Alzheimer, and there have been medications that have been developed mostly in the last 15 to 20 years, but none of them have affected the course of the disease. Because this is a disease of the brain, as Rosemary was mentioning, it is a very complex disease, and so far, researchers and scientists have been unable to change the course of it. Now, we do have a new medication that was introduced and approved by the FDA within the past couple of months, and it's getting a lot of attention, and it's the subject of some controversy, but aducanumab, which is being sold on retail or through pharmacists as Aduhelm, is the first disease that has shown potential to affect the course of the disease. It's not, and to be clear, it's not a silver bullet. It's not a cure, and it doesn't stop the disease or reverse it. But what it does, at least in some research trials, it's shown that it can provide improved quality of life and basically slow the progress of the disease. They measured it, and I'm not sure how they measure it, but they said about a 22% improvement. So that is encouraging and promising in that science is making some inroads, and even if this isn't the ultimate answer, that we're on track to make some progress against a disease. As you mentioned, it is the only leading disease without a prevention or a cure right now.
And are there any other things that we could be doing today to improve our odds against developing Alzheimer's as we age?
Well, there's a number of things, and we just completed the annual Alzheimer's Association International Conference. It's the world's largest Alzheimer's conference, and it was held here in Denver last week. And researchers are coming out with what they call a cocktail approach to treating Alzheimer's. And it may not boil down to a single cure, but a number of things, and some of the topics that they're looking at are diet, exercise, socialization, and a key one is blood pressure control. And there was a study that was completed about 2 years ago that showed that if everyone, people like us, can lower our systolic blood pressure, and that's the higher number. So if your blood pressure was 140 over 80, the 140 number is the systolic number. And if we can lower that to 120 through already approved medications, things that are available through our family doctor, that equated to a 17% reduction in the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's. It also equates to like a 19% reduction in mild cognitive impairment, which is a precursor to Alzheimer's. And I should say that everybody who gets mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, doesn't always move on to develop Alzheimer's, but you don't get to Alzheimer's without going through MCI. So if you can reduce your risk of developing mild cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's, then you know, you've made a huge stride. So just doing that one thing is a significant change. But we have a two-year study going on right now through the Alzheimer's Association that is looking at all of these factors, lifestyle, controlling blood pressure, socialization, education, and other things. And at the end, it's hoped to have some clear direction and information that our family physician can offer us during our annual checkups to say, you need to be doing these kinds of things, much like, you know, our physician will guide us if we have high blood pressure or if we have high cholesterol. It's hoped that Alzheimer's will be considered in that same category and something that we can affect.
Exactly, and it's amazing, you know, you'd mentioned some of the new medications that could be on the way as well. What other advances are coming scientifically that are starting to look promising to get some of that much-needed relief, not only for the patients, but the family members who are kind of sitting by watching all this happen to their loved ones?
A key one in that arena is what's called biomarkers, and that term may not mean much to a lot of people, but if you're being checked by your doctor for cholesterol or for blood sugars, those are being monitored through blood tests, and biomarkers can be monitored in the same way. And there are some great advances being made in terms of using blood tests to be able to track our, the progress of the tangles and plaques that are developing in our brains. And if they can track those through our blood, that would provide us a key indicator in terms of the early development of Alzheimer's. It's believed that, Alzheimer's is not, it's not like a broken leg. It doesn't happen overnight. It can take up to 15 or 20 years for this to develop to the point where it's recognized as an issue in, you know, and as Rosemary said, when memory loss and some of these other symptoms start to affect our daily life, that's when it can get diagnosed. But until then, people may just think of it as, you know, normal aging or something that they can cover up. But with biomarkers, if we're able to track this and identify it earlier, then, you know, there's a number of things, because there are medications that can treat symptoms. There are, you know, ways that we can enroll people into more research trials so that we can determine if there are ways to affect the course of the disease earlier and maybe prevent it from progressing. And certainly there's all of the care and treatment that organizations like the Alzheimer's Association offer to help not only the individual living with the disease, but the family. And that's a real key element there, because there are multiple caregivers in every family or friends who help the individual living with the disease. And for them to understand what's happening and to know why this person that they love is changing and what's behind it, and how to deal with the changes that are coming. So even if we don't develop a treatment or cure, at least being able to identify the disease earlier in the process will give everyone involved more tools to be able to deal with it more effectively. And so blood tests are one. Researchers are looking at eye tests. They're looking at a variety of things that are, you know, less intrusive than a spinal tap. You know, things that are much more a common everyday treatment. And for those of us who've been getting COVID tests, I mean, it's akin to that. So being able to do something like that and to identify the, you know, the future of our cognitive health would be just an enormous advancement.
Exactly. And there are so many more advancements going on. We can get all that information over at ALZ.org. Plus, there's ways that you can help to keep these ongoing efforts and advancements going. We'll talk about that as The Extra continues here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers, and this hour we're talking about Alzheimer's and all things related to this tragic disease. Joining me now on the KRDO News line is Charlotte Long with the Alzheimer's Association of Colorado Springs, of Central Colorado. And Charlotte, you oversee all these special events for Alzheimer's throughout the region, and you've got some special events coming up where people can help get some fundraising efforts to continue on with these, you know, much needed research projects and things to help finally find either prevention or a cure of this disease.
That's right. Thank you so much for having us, Andrew. So we have our annual Walk to End Alzheimer's this summer. There are 13 walks in Colorado and over 600 nationwide. Our closest walks are in Pueblo and in Colorado Springs. And we have walk kickoffs for both events. Next Wednesday, August 11th, we have our Colorado Springs kickoff at Looney's Comedy Corner. And on August 12th in Pueblo at the Colorado Tap Room. Both kickoffs start at 6 p.m. and go till 9 p.m. And the event is to celebrate the upcoming walks. What we do is we help folks register, pick up walk yard signs, and we will even have karaoke at both events. If you are interested in finding out a little bit more about those events, you can give me a call at 719-372-5978.
And, of course, Charlotte, what does the money raised go to help with this ongoing fight against Alzheimer's?
So every dollar we raise through our events serve three key areas. First, our programs that help improve the quality of life for people living with Alzheimer's and all dementia. Next, we support families who are providing care for their loved ones through educational programs, support groups, our 24/7 helpline, and more. And then third, funding that research to find a cure, much of what Jim talked about earlier and things that we're involved in. The Alzheimer's Association is the largest nonprofit funder of research around the world. We are third only behind the U.S. and Chinese governments.
And, of course, if any of our listeners have a special connection, maybe a family connection to Alzheimer's, how can they get involved with some of these events?
Well, we would certainly love for people to join us at one of the walks. At the walk, they're celebrating their loved ones with the disease, someone who has passed, and even the amazing caregivers that are out there. In addition, we have opportunities on our walk planning committee that goes from January through November. And then we have day of volunteers. So if someone's interested in volunteering or being on our walk committee, information can be found on our local walk websites.
And again, you mentioned that there are walks taking place in both Colorado Springs and Pueblo. And let's get some of the specifics about when and where those will be taking place and how people can still register to take place.
Awesome. Yes, the Pueblo Walk is on September 18th. It's at the Pueblo River Walk. And the Colorado Springs Walk is on October 2nd at Memorial Park. We will be walking around Prospect Lake. People can join us behind the YMCA off of Union. And the festival area for both walks opens at 9 a.m. And then we have a promise flower ceremony at 10 a.m. with walks to follow that.
And again, more information can be found at alz.org /walk. Again, Charlotte, thank you so much for these efforts. And again, we have the walk coming on. Are there any other special fundraisers or any other ways to help with this fundraising effort if people may not be the walk type?
Exactly. So we have our walk teams do their own personal fundraisers that raise money towards the walk. But we also have something called the longest day, which is typically celebrated on the summer solstice. The event is something that we raise money year-round and just celebrate on that day. But that event is for people to do something that they love. So whether it's playing chess, riding a bike, hiking, even kids are out selling lemonade at lemonade stands. The longest day is also alz.org/thelongestday.
Okay, again, that is some great information. And again, all these funds just go directly to helping to find that much-needed cure and prevention efforts. As Charlotte, you mentioned that you're second or third only behind two major governments as far as funding such research. So this is definitely much-needed funding to help this ongoing effort. And again, hopefully we can find that source of relief for so many families soon enough. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining
us
here on The Extra. KRDO News Time is 8:43. We have much more still ahead as we're continuing to discuss all things Alzheimer's here and some opportunities and options that are out there and available for the family members who are helping those suffering from Alzheimer's still ahead. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And again, this hour we've been talking about Alzheimer's, and there are so many options out there as well and resources for those families who have Alzheimer's patients that they're taking care of. And again, joining me on the KRDO Newsline is Rosemary Jaramillo. And Rosemary, let's talk about the programs and services that the Alzheimer's Association offers for those who are helping those suffering through Alzheimer's.
So we have a lot of resources that are free to our community. Can I say that again? They are free to our community. Some examples are our support groups, our education programs, our helpline, our community resource finder, and our Alzheimer's Navigator. This is a great tool that anyone can access. There's information on how to talk to your doctor, safety, driving, and just an array of different resources on there. And I have to say that we really do rely heavily on our community partners and our amazing volunteers. So these amazing volunteers lead our support groups, our education classes, and support our walk. And we're always looking for new volunteers to help with this.
And, of course, there's so many other things that the Alzheimer's Association really does to help out those families because, again, a lot of times the families become those caretakers and have that additional burdens placed on them. And what other resources are out there? What other ways is the Alzheimer's Association helping those families out so much?
Yeah, so we also do one-on-one care consultations either through me or through our helpline. These consultations help to develop a plan to move forward. We share resources and education. Education is important. By understanding this disease and its progress, our caregivers can better care for their person. With compassion and empathy, education will remind us that when mom asks 10 times where her purse is, that she has no control over it. It will help us to learn not to take things personally, and we will learn to understand that quiet time is okay, and we don't need to fill every minute of the day with activities or conversations, and we'll learn how to communicate and understand and develop a new way of communication.
And of course, as we, you know, we mentioned earlier in the show, and we can revisit that here as we have about 5 minutes left or so, that really the key to making this as fulfilling as possible, even though, as we've mentioned, there's still no prevention or no cure at this point, is that early detection. And let's talk about just how important getting a handle on this early can make such a big difference as the progression happens.
Absolutely. And when we talk about early detection, you know, part of that is really making sure that we're ruling out anything, any underlying conditions, making sure that, you know, like Jim said, we're keeping our glucose levels in check, we're keeping our cholesterol in check, and just really making sure that, you know, there's not something else going on with our loved one. And that's important because as any disease progresses, so say we went in and we got a cure for cancer, we wouldn't just walk out and say it's cancer. We would want to know what type. So with Alzheimer's, we want to know exactly what kind, what is causing the dementia, and what we want to be able to plan for the future and what does that look like. And so it's very, very important to get a good team with your primary care and start developing that team of resources.
And what are some of those key warning signs that people should be looking for? Because obviously it is different person to person, but what are some of the key indicators that should kind of trigger either something within you or something a family member might be able to notice in their loved one to get that conversation started with their primary care physician?
So when we start noticing some signs, say, you know, somebody, our loved one is forgetting new information and they're not able to recover that information. So they're forgetting appointments and not able to remember when those, that they even had an appointment. Maybe they're having, you know, they're having issues with names, people's names, their loved ones' names. We need to be careful that we're not chalking it up to everyday, you know, normal aging. You know, what is the recovery? If somebody loses their keys, are they able to retrace their steps and find those keys? And are they ever able to recognize what those keys are for? So there's a lot of warning signs. And disorientation, too, not being able to remember how they got somewhere or why they're even somewhere. And so those are things. And the important piece to that is the recovery piece. Are they able to recover that thought or that memory?
And as you mentioned, you know, sometimes that could just be that normal aging or, you know, maybe having an overwhelming day or stresses. What are some of the, you know, you'd mentioned some things. What else can really differentiate just that normal versus something that really needs to have that next level look?
Yes. Sometimes it also starts affecting, you know, maybe reading, visual. We, you know, people don't, with the disease, don't see things the same. So maybe a carpet on the floor might look like a hole in the ground. They start seeing things that really aren't there. And just one of the important things, too, is they start withdrawing from people. Maybe they have a game that they love playing. They stop playing that. They stop reading. And they stop participating in, you know, maybe they used to like to go play, you know, bingo or something, and they're no longer able to do that. And so those are the things that we want to keep an eye out on.
And again, it's never too early to find that assistance, to reach out, to make sure it isn't Alzheimer's, to kind of get a handle on this. And again, for all those resources, obviously that first step has got to be going through your primary care physician. But what else do people need to really take away as far as knowing that they have available and those resources that are out there?
And you're right. It is never too early. And we want to be able to gather resources, make plans, educate. Preparation is very, very important. Ideally, the earlier someone gets connected to our programs, the longer we can walk this journey with them. Having a support system is extremely important because it's very, very difficult on the person with the disease and on their caregivers.
And of course, the Alzheimer's Association is here to be an extension of that support system as well. And for more information about all the options and opportunities for the Alzheimer's Association, what's the best way to connect?
So we definitely, you can connect at alz.org or reach out to our 24/7 helpline at 800-272-3900.
And again, for more information on everything we've talked about, just head on over to alz.org. Also, for information about the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's, go to alz.org/walk. There are a number of services available. Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us, helping to educate about what Alzheimer's is and the options that are out there.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. That does it here for The Extra. We have the Tom Martino Show still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio.